We have always talked about how wonderful Italy is, but what do you know about its dark sides, such as poverty?
Ciao, siamo Gabriele e Angelique. Benvenuti nel nostro podcast. We are passionate language learners and we record for you the language learning podcast we'd like to play when we learn new languages.
Our podcast, in mixed English and simple Italian, helps beginners and intermediate Italian language learners enjoy engaging content about Italy, its language, and its culture since day zero of their language learning journey.
Today, we talk about Italy's state of poverty. But what is poverty? Is it absolute? Is it relative?
In this episode, we will talk about the numerous questions related to poverty, including how bad is it right now compared to 20 years ago? Did COVID-19 cause it? And what about the war in Ukraine? Is there a way out of it?
As you will listen to our episode, you will realize that the poverty crisis is a complex matter. In Italy, it is part of a vicious cycle. People may end up being jobless and homeless for good. Once you're in the system, you cannot get out of it.
Listen now to our conversation and learn more about Italy's ongoing poverty crisis while enriching your Italian language learning experience. Welcome back, everyone, to our podcast, The Italianscape. Oggi che cosa che parleremo?
So today we are going to talk about some social issues here in Italy. And we'd like to give you guys a more realistic and truthful picture of what Italy is today. In the past, we talked about Italian zeros or Italian bella vita. But as we say in Italy, non è tutto rose e fiori. Like, not everything is good. There are some dark side. Ci sono alcuni lati oscuri. And one of these dark sides, which is really like growing in importance in Italy, it's actually poverty.
Huh. Secondo me non tanti aspettano questo lato di Italia. Povertà. No?
Yeah, not many know about this. And to be honest, this is an issue that really grew a lot of importance since COVID came and in the last years in general. Mm-hmm. E quindi ecco, non è un argomento molto allegro, però è un aspetto importante dell'Italia di cui vale la pena parlare.
Okay, so how do we tell the story of poverty?
So I'd like to start with a more rigorous approach and try to define what is poverty. So, in Italia, ma non solo in Italia, ci sono due definizioni di povertà. C'è la povertà assoluta, like absolute poverty, e poi c'è la povertà relativa, relative poverty.
Okay.
And those two definitions mean that for absolute poverty, this means that people who are absolute poorest cannot afford to satisfy their essential needs. Quindi, per esempio, non hanno abbastanza soldi per mangiare, per pulirsi, so to wash themselves and mm-hmm. keep their hygiene. Non possono permettersi una casa.
Mm-hmm.
Quindi non riescono a soddisfare i bisogni proprio primari.
Mm-hmm.
Most of those people end up being homeless.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the worst kind of poverty. Poi c'è la povertà relativa, che è definita come l'incapacità di vivere una vita media, quindi di potersi permettere, so being able to afford the
basic necessities?
Not the basic necessity, because those means if you cannot afford those basic necessity, you're an absolute poor.
Yeah, yeah.
But stuff like being able, I don't know, like to buy an ice cream from time to time.
Okay.
Or to enjoy the social life.
Okay.
So meaning that you survive, but your life is miserable. So
like that's, a bare minimum.
Yeah, you have the bare minimum, but that's it. In Italia questa povertà relativa è definita in termini economici per il 2022 come circa 500 euro a persona al mese.
To spend, right?
To spend. So if a family of two people has less than earns less than 1,000 euros a month, then they are relative poor.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense because I mean, considering the expenses, for example, depending on the region, your expenses vary. But for example, if you live in the north, having 1,000 euros and you have to support a small family, like let's say one or two kids, that's quite a lot actually, since you have to pay the rent. If you have to pay the rent, if you don't own the house, you have to pay for the food, the education of the kids, the gas, like for your car and stuff, right?
Vero, vero. Anche se in realtà la povertà relativa e assoluta è più alta nelle regioni più povere. Quindi, per esempio, la Campania, so the region where Naples is, ha una povertà che è superiore, mi sembra, al 24%. It's like almost one person out of four people is poor. While in the richest regions like Lombardia where Milan is, it's more around 6 or 7%. So it's more like one person in like 17 or 18 people is poor.
Okay, that's a big difference. It's like 4 times the difference.
Sì, più o meno 4 volte. È abbastanza intensa come differenza. Well, those are a bit of the definitions, but the real important point is that these numbers in the last like 10 years tripled. It's like before, in the first 2000s, the amount of poor was way less.
The amount of poor people, you
The
mean?
amount of poor people, yeah. Especially the absolute poor. And the homeless, like the homeless in the last few years, like increased by 4 times.
Huh, I didn't know this.
Yeah.
So che ci sono tanti adesso, però non sapevo che era quarto.
Un quarto, sì. No, un quarto, 4 volte.
Quattro
Sono
volte,
aumentati
scusa,
quattro
quattro
volte.
volte.
E sì, adesso ci sono in tutta Italia circa mezzo milione di persone che vivono per strada, so they're homeless.
Secondo te perché?
Are many reasons why this is happening, and this all stems from two major root causes. So one is the economic and financial decline of Italy. Which is more than a decline, is a lack of growth.
Yeah, this we felt, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like the productivity of Italy didn't increase in the last 20 years, basically. And
Not even just 10 years, 20 years.
20 years, yeah, 20 years. Basically, since Italy entered the Euro currency agreement, then its productivity stopped. Its increase in productivity stopped. E l'altra causa principale è più recente ed è dovuta a tutte le crisi che si stanno verificando ultimamente, come il Covid, come la guerra in Ucraina e l'inflazione e il costo dell'energia. And
But they're
actually,
like a domino effect.
yeah, they're kind of a domino effect, and actually the projections are like even worse than this. So people are expecting many families, like the Istat, so it's which is like
Statistics office.
the National Statistics Office. It's forecasting that because of the raising cost of life, because of the inflation and the cost of energy, which like a domino makes everything be more expensive, Like one in four families will not be able to pay the rent this coming fall.
That's and really winter. Bad.
Yeah, that's really bad. Because for families who are already close to poverty, even just 1 or 2,000 more euros per year that they have to pay because of increased bills can swing the scale to the wrong side.
Yeah, because they're, as you said, in the bare minimum. So just adding like a couple of thousands of euros for just the rent and everything else, like with the added expenses because gas has gone up, food prices has gone up, everything has gone up. So if you accumulate all that, you're bound not to pay something, and that could be the rent.
Yeah, exactly. Because people are gonna eat first and then maybe
sleep.
Yeah.
Abbiamo visto nelle strade a Genova che loro riescono di comprare
a comprare
un panino, per esempio, da Carrefour, da un supermercato, perché è più economico. E poi vivono
per strada,
costruiscono con, like, they make these cardboard houses. And I'm wondering, like, is there something like Caritas or like social housing who could step up, for example? I mean, like, there's this documentary I once saw where they tried to accommodate the homeless in Milan. And the problem back then, which was in mid-2000s, was that, well, not mid-2000s, like 2010, something like that. The problem was that there were not enough lodging for the homeless in Milan then because they had to reserve prior to getting in.
Yes, there is definitely an issue with social housing. Ci sono circa 800.000 famiglie che vivono appunto nelle abitazioni sociali, so social housing, ma ce ne sono altre 600.000 che stanno aspettando. They are like in the waiting list, waiting to get one. And actually the lack of housing is a crucial issue, because once someone loses a house, loses the chance to have a home, and they become homeless, then a vicious circle starts, because since they're homeless, it's harder for them to get a job. And since it's harder for them to get a job, they have even less money to afford a home. And it's like a vicious circle.
Yeah.
So once you're in, it's really hard to get out.
Yeah, it's like, and what's that film of Will Smith?
Yeah. Pursuit of Happiness.
So it's something like that. Like maybe in the 80s, it was somehow a bit easier because at the end of the film, he was trying to get back on his feet. But in reality, in Italy, it's like, it's really hard to get out, I think, because of this system, as you said, this vicious cycle where once you become homeless, you're trapped, kind of. It's hard to get out.
Esatto. E questo problema è amplificato dalla crisi economica, dalla stagnazione economica, economic stagnation. Perché proprio per il fatto che l'Italia non sta crescendo economicamente, mancano i fondi, mancano i soldi per costruire altre abitazioni sociali. So they lack money to build more social housing because of the economic crisis, let's say. E allo stesso tempo i poveri stanno aumentando, quindi meno abitazioni, più poveri, e questo problema continua ad aumentare.
Sì.
And there has actually been some attempt of finding solution in the last years, and this solution is called in italiano si chiama reddito di cittadinanza, but it's really hard. There's no direct there's not straightforward translation in Italian.
Okay.
Sorry, in English. So some translate it as a citizen's income, other translate as a universal basic income, but it's not exactly that. It's more
no,
it's not. It's more because it's not guaranteed to everybody. There are some requirements, but I will maybe discuss a bit more about this because it's an important part of the Italian welfare. Ma il punto interessante è che ha permesso comunque di contenere molto la quantità di poveri in Italia,
mm-hmm.
perché è riuscito, diciamo, a permettere a 1 milione di persone di non essere in condizioni di povertà assoluta.
In teoria o in realtà?
No, in realtà.
Ok.
In realtà. So, 1 million people not being like absolute poor, that's a big thing,
mm-hmm.
of course. But the issue there is that this is not a perfect tool. And
okay.
There have been a lot of frauds and scams where people declare like a lower income than they really have in order mm-hmm. to get this. And so it's a very controversial tool. Some people say it's not correct, it's not right to give this basic income to people, and that the money used for this universal basic income should be devoted to boosting the economy instead.
Hey there, dear listener. Angelic here. I hope that you like our episode so far. Right now, I'd just like to tell you about 4 important announcements from the Italian Escape podcast. First, we have created a newsletter and launched our first issue last month. If you're one of those people who'd like to receive a curated list of recommendations, like books, films, podcasts, and music, then our newsletter's perfect for you. Subscribe now to our newsletter by clicking on the link in our show notes. Second, we have a Patreon. In it, you get to access exclusive materials, such as our color-coded and time-stamped transcripts and our vocabulary lists arranged according to the proficiency level. You can join our community by clicking on the link again in our show notes. Now, third, if you like our podcast and want to support us, another way to do that is by giving us a rating. You can do so by sending in your vote via Spotify and Apple Podcast. Finally, we want to learn more about you, our dear listener. To help us understand your interests, we'd like you to fill up a survey, which you can find in our show notes yet again. In our survey, you get to give us a recommendation of a topic for one of our future episodes. For that, we will be mentioning your name to give thanks to your undying support. So, yeah, that's about it. And thanks again. Now, let's head back to our episode. It's hard, right? Like, government has to decide, do we save the people or do we save the economy? But then the economy is related to the future of the people as well. So it's like the government's kind of trapped. Their hands are tied.
Sì, non è una situazione facile. In generale non c'è una soluzione perfetta e il problema è che ovviamente mancano i soldi. Ma l'idea, il principio dietro il reddito cittadinanza è di permettere a tutti di non sprofondare in condizioni di povertà assoluta e quindi di riuscire pian pianino a trovare poi un lavoro. So the idea behind this citizen's income is to give some help to people who are going through a rough patch and then help them find a new job. But this side, this kind of purpose of this income really didn't work out because many people end up not wanting to take a job and prefer to keep getting the money from the government because the problem is that the jobs they can get are paid
less,
more or less like this income.
So it's like it's better not to work and get paid still rather than working so hard and then still getting paid the same thing. It's like the more convenient choice.
Yeah. Plus, many people get this universal income and then they make some extra money working illegally. Questo lavoro, lavorare illegalmente, si chiama lavoro in nero in Italia.
Uh-huh.
Ed è un fenomeno sociale molto diffuso.
Uh-huh,
so it's a very common phenomenon. And so, since working illegally doesn't end up as an official income, then people can still get the universal income, plus they can work on the side and get some extra money. And this is one of the reasons why one too many people prefer to keep to not getting an official job so they can have the time to work on the side illegally and at the same time get the universal income. Quindi questo strumento sulla carta in teoria è molto giusto, è molto equo, ma la sua applicazione ha avuto davvero tanti problemi.
Diciamo che like there are a lot of holes in the law, let's say. Like, it's so weird that you guys brag about having a complex financial system and law, like judiciary system, and people love to get away with it in the end and make the most out of the system. Like, diciamo che ho notato che i ricchi provano di diventare più ricchi.
Provano a
diventare più ricchi, invece i poveri non hanno tante opzioni e devono diventare furbi. It's like the most common attitude you guys have is to become furbi. I don't know how to explain that in English, the word furbi.
Furbi, like street smart, let's say.
Yeah.
Yes, Italians do have a tendency of being street smart. But this is a very wide topic that maybe we'll discuss in another episode, because it has also deep historical roots, this behavior. Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, it is true. It is true. And actually, I think that one of the best way to avoid the fallbacks of this citizens' income is to demand people to do some socially, how to say, valuable activities while they receive the income, so they don't have all of this time to work legally on the side. Like, for example, clean the streets, or I don't know, helping collecting fruit and vegetables in the fields during the harvester season and this kind of stuff.
Yeah. Però non hai notato che quelle che fanno questi lavori sono gli immigranti, because Italians don't like to do the menial jobs, the hard jobs, let's say, like physically demanding jobs. And then what's funny is that you guys like to blame the immigrants for stealing their jobs. When immigrants are the ones that are like saving your system from crashing because they're doing, you know, the jobs that Italians don't want to do, like clean the streets, pick up vegetables and fruits in farms under the sun, clean buildings and stuff, become nannies, badante, for the old people. So in a way, immigrants are the ones actually helping your economy stay afloat, even though it's sinking like a broken ship. As you said, it could work for Italians if they're even willing to do it, but I don't think they're willing.
Sì, è vero quello che dici, Angie, però è anche vero che se si mettesse come obbligo di legge, so if doing some social work were mandatory by law, then in order to get this citizen's income, then I think people would do it, even though they don't like it. So it is very controversial, but in the end, I think the reason why this tool is so imperfect is because of the lack of economic growth in Italy. That is like the root of all problems, because, for example, this is what keeps the basic wage so low that people prefer to still get the basic income, right? Because
yeah.
But why is it so low? It's because the economy is not growing.
Yeah.
And so that is the root cause. And another important reason for that is also the lack of demographic growth in Italy.
Well, one of the reasons.
Yeah, one of the reasons. But this is a big reason because maybe our listeners don't know, but in Italy, the welfare state is pretty strong. This means that there is a guaranteed pension for everybody. C'è la pensione minima garantita per tutti, anche se poi la pensione che ricevi dipende da quanto hai guadagnato mentre lavoravi. Però il problema è che, visto che le nascite sono poche, la proporzione fra persone in pensione e persone che lavorano sta cambiando e ci sono sempre più persone in pensione rispetto alle pensioni che lavorano. So there are always more retired people compared to people who are working. And the issue here is that the people who are working are the ones who are paying the pensions for the people who retired. Sì. So this demographic imbalance causes the weight of the pension system to be much heavier on the state balance, which in turn reduces the amount of money that the government can invest in order to promote and push the economy. And so it's, again, like a vicious circle. Secondo la mia opinione, è solo la mia opinione, quindi, like how we say in Italian, lascia il tempo che trova. So it's like, it's important to a point. Io credo che il problema sia l'educazione. Sia
in generale?
Sì. Like, I think that the issue here is that the advancing technologies are making, let's say, grunt human labor more and more useless. And only very educated people can be productive and push the productivity higher and the economy forward. But here we have a big issue in Italy. And to be honest, la qualità dell'istruzione in Italia, so the quality of the education, è molto diminuita in Italia negli ultimi 20-30 anni.
Mm.
Soprattutto negli istituti tecnici. So, istituto tecnico is a kind of school where, it's a kind of high school which is supposed to prepare you for working right away after you graduate, compared with another type of high school called liceo, whose purpose is basically to prepare you to actually go for a higher degree, university, and mm-hmm. so on. And the problem is that in these istituti tecnici, la qualità dell'educazione è veramente bassa. Non sempre, ma spesso sì. E quindi il problema è che alla fine bisogna trovare un lavoro per queste persone, ma queste persone non sono abbastanza qualificate per trovarlo. And so it's another vicious circle. So it's like Italy is full of vicious circles. And I think we really need to wake up as a country and understand that we need to change the way we behave, because we cannot expect the government to solve our problems. Yeah. We need to solve our own problems.
But also you have to account the nature of Italians, aside from being furbi, which is another topic. Italians don't like taking risks. Quello che ho visto nell'università è che vogliono stare in un posto molto stabile. They love stability here. They're not willing to go the extra mile to, you know, make the business more profitable also for the Italian economy. And I cannot blame them because the bureaucracy is also problematic. So everything's connected together. It's like a spider's web. If your education's getting bad, which I believe it is, especially the technical schools, and as well the lower demographics, and everything else, like the government not finding, not addressing the key issues, it's going to be catastrophic, I think, for Italy in the future. But I don't think Italy's the only one that's going to suffer this time.
Yeah, true. But my hope, and I'm not the only one to hope this, is that Italians have this kind of special resilience, which only begins when the situation is dire.
Come la guerra mondiale?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, we like la bella vita, ci piace una vita tranquilla, con sicurezze. But it's not like that we lack the capability. It's more that we are, let's say, a bit lazy. And so we really need to be pushed to our limit before we start reacting.
But sì, però c'è questo problema. Sai che quelle che fanno più sforza sono, they're tired. And usually they're the ones who end up leaving the country, the ones with a lot of potential and earning much more elsewhere.
That is true, that is true. Quindi c'è anche il problema della cosiddetta fuga dei cervelli, so the fleeing of brains abroad. And that's also another chapter that maybe we'll discuss in another episode. Anyway, I'm not entirely pessimistic. I think there's a chance for hope, and we also really need people from abroad to come and give us a different perspective. So we are counting on you, dear listeners, who love Italy. Come, share your view, bring your value, because Italy is a great nation, but sometimes needs foreigners to remind her of that.
I hope so. I really hope so. I still haven't seen it, but I hope so. So we're going to end this episode with a note that, well, we hope Italy will get out of this situation of poverty, because it's also one of the key topics that we'll be discussing this upcoming elections that's happening by the end of September. A pretty big deal for Italians. Quindi vediamo.
Vediamo e speriamo. Thank you again for listening to us, and we hope you'll hear from us soon again.
Ciao, ciao. Ciao.